Shalom, today's daf yomi is Baba Basra daf kuf mem vav Baba Basra 146. Today's daf yomi is recording statements that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, and because we are recording that, we find another teaching that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, and he says the following: Ma'isa ba'adam echa. There was a story about one man, and this person. What happened was he made a claim that his wife was a totranit. A totranit is somebody who has lost their sense of smell or is unable to smell, and so therefore this man was claiming my wife is a totranit, and therefore the way the Gemara plays out, the way we understand the story, is therefore he wants to divorce her because he thinks that this is a blemish on her that she's unable to smell, and therefore he says I want to divorce her and not have to pay the ketubah, not have to pay the bond that I promised her. And so what happened was he devised a way to test her, the Nichnas acharei lechorba, and so he went after her into a ruins in order to test her. And he said to her, Reach tznon ani mariach begalil. He said to her, I'm smelling a radish in the Galilee. And so she understood at this point that his goal was really just to test her. And so she responded to him, Rashbam says, Derech tzchok, in a jesting fashion, because she understood what he was doing. He said, so she responds to him, Ma nyayvon mi kotavot diricho. She said, well, if you're smelling a radish, then I wish somebody would give to us from the dates of Jericho, because the dates are sweet, and when we combine a sweet with spicy, a spicy radish will have a good taste. So that's how she was responding to him. Immediately what happened, however, was Nafal ala chorba umesa. That part of the ruin, since they were standing in ruins, what happened was that part of these ruins fell on her, and so as a result of this, she died. So Amru Chachamim, the sages said that since Ho'yal v'lo nichnas acharei elavot, because since the reason why he followed her into these ruins, into this dangerous situation, was just to test her, and she died before them being able to reconcile, Eino Yorsha. He loses his right to inherit her. And the Rashbam explains that just like we say in Gittin 18a, that from the moment a man decides to divorce his wife, even though he hasn't actually divorced her, but from the moment his intention is to divorce her, he is no longer able to claim the fruits of the property. Because when a man is married to a woman and she brings him property, if it is nichse melug, what is called certain property, that he has the right to the dividends of that property. But once he decides to divorce her, even before the divorce, he has lost that right. So the Rashbam says, just like he has lost the right to divorce her, to get the fruits of her assets, so too he has lost the right to inherit her. That's how the Rashbam understands this, and so therefore, since he intended to divorce her, and he was looking for this pretext of the fact that she has this physical imperfection that she's unable to smell, therefore he has lost the right to inherit her. The Rimagash comes up with a different suggestion. The Rimagash's suggestion is that since he was claiming she was a totranit, he was therefore saying that the whole kedushin, the whole marriage, retroactively should be null and void, because he married her with the understanding that she was able to smell, and now that she's unable to smell, retroactively the kedushin is null and void, and therefore, as a consequence, he has no right to inherit her because he's not really married to her, since the whole kedushin is retroactively nullified. This idea that a person, a husband, is not able to inherit his wife once he has decided to divorce her, this idea relates to a concept we've seen in the Bible, where we say, Ratzachta v'gam yirashta, you murdered and now you also seek to inherit. So how does this relate to a matter of Jewish law? So the Shu'at, Devar Yoshua, talks about a situation where there was a case that came before the Ottoman courts, and what happened was there was a man who had killed his wife with intent. And so when it came before the court, which was obviously not a Jewish court, said, I cannot find anything in the Bible to disprove the fact that this man should not inherit. I know instinctively that this man should not inherit his wife after he kills her, but I don't have a source for it in the Bible. And so therefore, he found in the Ottoman texts that there was something that says that a person is unable to inherit somebody who they shorten their life. And so that was the basis for this ruling that this man could not inherit his wife after he killed her. So the Dvar Yeshua says, well, no, I want to defend the Torah. It's incomprehensible that a person could kill somebody and then inherit them. And so the Dvar Yeshua finds a source for this from the writings of the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud Daled, where the Rambam writes that a ben sorer umore, that a child who was rebellious, and the way that worked was if a child was so rebellious, although the Gemara says there never was and never will be such a child, but the parents could take him to court, and the father could take him to court and cause this child to be stoned. And the Rambam writes that under those circumstances, the father will inherit the child. And so therefore, the Radvaz explains in this Rambam that we need to say that the father inherits under those circumstances, because we might have thought that maybe this whole thing was a pretext or a ruse for the father to be able to get the money of the son. So therefore, it's teaching us that it's not the case and that we allow the father to inherit. And from here, we see that in general, except for the case of a ben sorer or moreh, anybody who is involved, says the Dvar Yeshua, in the causing the death of somebody else, especially if they kill them actually with their own hands, is unable to inherit that person.